Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. We're back. Last week we talked about the kingdom. We're back with the same people, Gerard, Guada, and Jamison. Last week we talked about the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom. Now this week we're going to be talking all about where you fit in the kingdom, what your purpose is, what you were designed to do, and how we found what we were designed to do. So let's get straight into it, because I imagine this is going to be a long topic. JMO, I think this is like something that's right up your alley. How did you find out what you were born for?
Yeah. So one of the things that we mentioned in the last podcast was talking about seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added onto you, right? So one of those things that was added onto me was finding purpose. So the way that I found my own purpose was when I started pursuing God, for starters. And I wasn't a Christian my whole life. I didn't devote my life towards Christ up until about 2015. And now when I started doing that, I started seeking first the kingdom. I started wanting to know all about God, all about Jesus. And in doing that, I wanted to learn how to live my life the best way I can according to how Jesus wanted me to live. And now when I had that that desire to learn more about him, there was also this undeniable desire, even before I was a Christian, for me to want to just help people. There was this burn that just wanted to help people with, I didn't know how. All I knew was that I wanted to help people. And that started becoming fulfilled once I came into the knowledge of Christ, because then there was a reason for my desire to want to help people. I remember having a conversation with my dad before I was a Christian, and he was asking me, like, what do you actually want to do with your life? And because I kept on changing, and Gerard can relate 100%. He's been the exact same boat as me. I kept on changing from, you know, I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a dentist, I wanted to be a teacher, I wanted to be all these things, and I never grabbed a hold of it. But until I realized, and I believe that this was God bringing the revelation to me, that all these things, despite changing, all had one common theme, and that was I wanted to help people. And so once I captured that in mind, I then, from a practical sense, I started bringing it to God. I started saying, God, I have this desire inside of me that wants to help people. And now that you have told me to seek first your kingdom, I want to start applying that towards seeking first your kingdom. So, Lord, show me, how do I use this desire? How do I use my gifts? How do I use my natural traits to then further and expand your kingdom? So from a practical sense, for someone who is looking for purpose, bring your gifts, bring your talents, bring whatever that you have inside of your heart, bring it to God and say, Lord, I want you to partner with me. I want to partner with you and using this to bring glory for your kingdom. And
how did you recognize your gifts?
How do you recognize your gifts? So one way that I recognized my gifts was just upon self-reflection. And you start, you know, self-evaluating as well. And you start looking through things that you have always done naturally, your natural tendencies since birth, essentially. One example for me was I realized that I always had this gift of speaking to people, and I always had this gift of encouraging people. And, you know, it wasn't apparent to me until someone brought it to my attention. And then that's when I realized it was a gift. Someone said, you actually have this gift of talking to people and making them feel better about themselves. And so once I had that in mind, same thing, brought that to Christ and said, Lord, how do I use this to expand your kingdom? And then he will start showing you directions. He will start showing you avenues on how to use it, how to expand it, how to practice it, all of course with the accordance of the word. And that, you know, really just comes down to your relationship with God. So first, I would always suggest reflect upon it, pray about it, ask God to show it to you. He will bring it to your attention. And then ask God, how do I apply this into seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness?
Yeah, so after all of that, can you talk about your journey in finding out specifically where you fit in the kingdom?
Yep, so...
talking specifics.
Just for a little bit of backstory, like you guys already know, but I have this really strong desire and this goal that I believe was given to me by God to open up a gym. And so the way we came to that was very specifically, I started asking those questions. I started asking God, you know, what can I do? What purpose do you have for me? What what do you want me to establish, you know, on this lifetime? Because I'm only here for a short amount of time. What's your intention for me of being here? And so in those times of prayer and those times of self-reflection, God, I believe, started showing me all these times of remembering the times where I've been an encouragement to a person and all those times that I've always come back to fitness for some reason. Fitness. I've always, every time I start a new hobby, I'd end up quitting that hobby and going back to fitness for some reason. And then God would then say to me, look, I want you to capture that, turn that once was a hobby into a vision. And this is the vision that I have for you. So that's what started happening. I started meditating on it. And it wasn't like a sudden, like, kaboom moment. It was something that was very gradual. It was something that was sitting in my heart that had to slowly be unpeeled. Until one day, I did actually wake up with this strong desire, and I believe it was God. He said, you have to write this down right now. I remember him, you know, waking me up at 6 in the morning at a time that I never used to wake up at, and it was just really ringing so strongly in my heart to the point where I had to get on paper. And from that, that's just an example of how God can then bring to your attention what your purpose is. That you just know it's your purpose, because when you go to sleep, it's what's ringing in your mind. When you wake up, it's playing on your heart. It's this constant vision of you doing something that you can't get rid of. That's when you know it's a purpose from God, because you can't escape it. It's built inside of you since before the foundation of the earth. It wants to come out. And the best thing you can do with that desire is to bring it to God. And you'll find that He will then start directing you and guiding you on how to do it every step of the way.
Yeah. What I like about that is you found that God has told you to start a gym. So that sounds like it's something unconventional to how people picture Christianity. They picture going out for God as like being a church leader, being a minister, being a missionary, all that kind of stuff. But God's instructed you to build a gym. So
that's right.
I think what people would ask then is like, how can you be sure that God told you to do that rather than this is just a desire of yours?
Yep. So with that, it always comes down to your personal relationship with God and how God speaks to you. With just like with any relationship, you all have your own unique way of understanding things. There are things that I know that God will show to me through confirmation that might not necessarily make sense to you. So you will find those that when you get into that frequency of when God wants to show you something, there will just be this resignation in your heart. And this resignation comes with this, with a peace. We always hear that there's a peace that comes with it. And not to sound like overly spiritual, but it's also, look, break it down. Is this going against the kingdom of God? Is this going against the word of God? So even if for some reason it wasn't just my own imagination, it's still in accordance with the word. And that's where my safety comes from. That's where my assurance comes from. That is this going to be bringing harm to the world? Is this going to be bringing destruction? Is this going to be speaking the language of Satan? No. It's going to be speaking the love of God. It's going to be encouraging people. It's going to be edifying people, building them up. So in that sense, you know, that's always been a part of God's character. So in time, you start developing that relationship with God. You start seeing what pleases God and will this please God? If it's a yes, then go for it. Go with it. And at the end of the day, if it's not from God, God will always redirect it into a place where it is the right thing to do. That's the thing about faith. You know, it might seem right to you, but God will always establish, you know, your footsteps. He will always establish the correct way for your life and your purpose.
Mm. Yeah, Guara, can you just share a bit about your journey in finding out where you fit in the kingdom?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a little bit on the last podcast. Yeah, once you have a relationship with God, you develop. Like what Jamison said, it's a gradual thing. When you seek God, you find out the things that you're actually good at, right? Because, see, God created us in His image, right? God created us, so He knows what's our strength and what we're good at. He knows. So once we connect with our Creator, we also find out all these things that we're actually good at this. I'm actually good at speaking to people. I'm actually good at evangelizing. You discover that while you discover yourself, you discover God. When you seek God with all your heart, you discover these things. The best thing is to connect with your Creator, to connect with the one who created you. That's how you find out who you are. That's how you find out what your strengths are, because He created you, right? He knows everything from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you need, right? He's planned everything before you were even born. He set up every moment of your life, every event in your life, he set that up. So yeah, I would say really tap into the one who created you. Really get connected with God to find out who you are and where you belong in the body. That's the only way to find out what your purpose is and what your plan is. Because yeah, he's the creator, right? Like, you wouldn't go to someone else. Like, imagine calling someone else your mom and dad and they didn't even give birth to you. You go to your parents, you go to your father. So yeah, tap into God, tap into the Father. That's how you find out who you are.
Yeah, can you give us and the listeners just a bit of insight on where you came from and like, just talk about the journey from where you came from to where you are right now?
It's going to be a long story.
Long story short,
I wasn't a Christian all my life. I was saved 2016. So before that, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about my life. I was just going with the flow, going with whatever. Yeah, obviously before this, I already shared on the podcast, I was a drug addict before I got saved. So I was also suicidal before I was a Christian. So yeah, it's been a crazy journey. Definitely a crazy journey, and it made me question, like, you know, I could have died a long time ago, but here I am today. I'm still alive. Like, what is the reason why I'm alive? And I found God. Well, God found me, to be exact. God found me. Here's the reason why I'm alive. Here's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And I always look back to the time where I didn't know God. Like, I was purposeless. I had no hope, really, because I wanted to die. And yeah, I always have these moments where, like, man, I should have died. I should have died then. I should have died at that time. But for some reason, I'm alive. And that reason is God. He has a purpose. He has a plan for me. And look, here I am now. It really blows my mind every time I think about who I used to be and who I am now. It's just, wow, God is really real. To transform someone who was a suicidal drug addict into someone who's running their own business and actually, you know, doing something that I love. Like, it's just crazy. It's been a crazy, crazy journey of my life. But yeah, God is just so good, eh? God is just so good. And you discover all these things. You discover all these things when you seek God with all your heart, like relationship. Relationship.
Yeah, what about you, Gerard? Can you talk about your journey? So from when you first started as a Christian to now.
Okay. So first became Christian. Like, I just became Christian because I love God, because I had a radical encounter with him. Backslid and then came back to God because I had another encounter, and that from that point forward, I just kept going in relation to sort of fitting in. That's actually been a big struggle, even when, like, before I was a Christian. Like, I'd find myself in friendship groups where, like, yeah, I'm part of it, but I don't feel like I fit in. Like, I was always constantly trying to sort of win approval from my mates so I could stay within the group. That's what it felt like to me. And in year 12, it became super apparent that I really didn't fit in. Like, we had a massive group because the girl and boys school combined for 11 and 12. And in year 12, our group sort of split because of how big it was. And there was mini groups within the group. And even with the boys, like, I didn't have a group to fit into. I was left out. I had no one. I was jumping around from group to group in year 12. And I just find myself just chilling in the library by myself sometimes because I just didn't fit in anywhere. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm at Harvest Now Church, and, like, this is the family that I fit into now. It's God orchestrated 100%. Like, I've never felt more at home than with my Harvest Now family. And that goes with any sort of believer that I encounter in my walk. Like, I'll see a Christian. I might see someone, they might mention they're Christian, and I just instantly feel this connection with them. Like, whoa, you're part of the family as well. And that sort of fits in. with destiny and purpose and calling and stuff, I had all kinds of ideas of what I wanted to do in the future. Like, just like Jamison, my dad was hounding me, like, you're always at home playing games, like, get a real job. Like, I'm trying. I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I just, that actually carried on even in my, in Christianity. I, just like Jamison, I've always had this passion to help people. In the sense of, like, being specific, I never really honed it in. I just knew there was someone out there I could help. A few years ago, Pastor Chris, we were at her house, us leaders, and she asked us what we were doing with our lives, which is a great, fun question, and I just really didn't like it because my dad was asking me all the time, and I had the same answer for her. Like, I don't know. I just want to help. And Pastor Chris, being the loving pastor that she is, she's like, Gerard, that's good that you want to help. You just need to find that avenue that God wants you to be in. And I thought it was just being a music teacher. I thought it was going to be in disability support. Like, yeah, it was good. Like, I'm doing disability support, but it just, I knew there was something more in my heart. I knew I wasn't going to do that for the rest of my life. You know, I wanted to make, when I was in uni, I wanted to make this like little EP of just me, just having fun with music. I wanted to play the lead guitar. I wanted to be the drummer. There was a point where I wanted to sing, and it's just all these different things started happening. And it just, I wasn't like getting that sort of satisfaction. Fast forward to today, or not today, but a few months ago, like when I was trying to look for a job, I'm applying at Universal Store. I got the trial. They offered me the job. I get an interview at Kathmandu because I wasn't getting any other work. So I went back to retail. I'm not saying don't go to retail if you want a job. Like, retail is good. Like, retail is how I literally got out of my shell. Like, it seriously pushed me to start talking to people, and it really helps with evangelism as well, because with this is a bit of a tangent, but God is just like showing me the blueprint right now. It's crazy. Like, I wasn't always outgoing, you know? Like, once I was in a friendship group, then I'd be outgoing. But in the initial approach, I was never the one to say, hey, my name's Gerard. I was never that person. I'd always let people come to me. I'd never introduce myself to anybody. And it was really awkward for me. And then I started working at a cafe, and like, I'm sweating because I don't know how to talk to people properly. I just thought it was just the most awkward thing, trying to make a new friend. Worked at a cafe, then I went to Sketches. And my goal at that time was I wanted to work for Vans because, you know, I liked the brand. And, you know, I work at Skechers. Turns out Skechers is part of the same group that Vans is in. So that was already an open door, and it was a stepping stone into where I wanted to be. At Skechers, it was weird because no one was really my age, and I couldn't really relate with anyone because they were a lot older than me. And so I was just sort of kept to myself. Next door to Skechers was Platypus, and they're part of the same group. So I'm over at Platypus more than I am at my job, just talking to them because they're my age. And the time came where they asked me if I still wanted to work at Skechers, and I was like, not really. And then what happened was they let me go. And then for a while, I didn't have a job. And then I applied at Vans, and literally the manager looked at me and was like, you know what, you'd fit right in here. I was like, huh? She's like, interview next week. I'm like, okay, sure. So I get the interview. I'm now working. I'm working at Vans, a place I wanted to be for a long time. And then literally the first week I sucked at my job because I didn't know what I was doing. It was like, because it was a sale, sort of a DFO sort of thing. I was constantly put into situations where I'd have to actually talk to customers and they wouldn't have to come to me because it wasn't a full price store. I'd have to sell stuff, and I just didn't have that sort of experience. And my manager, my second in charge, my assistant manager, he says to me, Gerard, if you want to keep your job, you better start doing it. I was like, oh, dang. Okay. I'm freaking out. I'm trying to meet all these KPIs. And then it really pushed me to start talking to people. And that was, and working at Vans, I saw one of the craziest things. I started praying for people at work. I shared this in a different podcast, but I'll touch on it now as well. But I started praying for people, and there was this one girl who came in. She was with her daughter, and her daughter had warts on her eye. So after she bought stuff, I asked her, if you don't mind me asking, what's on her eye? She goes, there's what? These are warts and stuff. They've been growing since I don't know how long ago. I'm like, is that okay? I pray for her. Pray for her. And then didn't hear back for months. A few months later, I get a call from my manager saying, hey, Gerard, how you going? I'm like, oh, yeah, what's going on? I thought she wanted me to come in and work. And she goes, no, I don't need you to get into work, but do you remember that girl you prayed for who had warts in her eye? I'm like, oh, yeah. And she's like, yeah, we got an email from her mum. The warts are gone. So literally the whole of Vans got preached to. People can't deny that God is real. No one can deny that anymore there. I got to pray for her, and the whole of Vans got preached to. And then what happened was it really opened up my manager's mind. And from that point on, I was like, well, I'm going on a mission. I go on a mission trip. I see people healed. I see people get saved. It's just amazing. After that, I go into disability support, and it's really fulfilling, but it just wasn't cutting it. And then still wanting me to help people. Before I head there was one thing that I really liked at Vans. It was when someone handed in their resume, and I got to talk to them, and I got to do a little mini interview. Now my job is to interview people to get jobs, and I help them find the job that fits them. So literally the passion in my heart was helping people find a job. And now I get to do that for all kinds of people. I get to talk to people, see how they're like, what they're into, their interests. And it's amazing because I recruit for retail, the very thing that I started in, retail. And now I'm helping people find a job in retail, which is amazing to me. And God literally knew this from the start. He knew it from the get-go that I'd be doing this. And I'll be honest, like, it was really hard trying to trust God. It was challenging. Definitely. It was a big challenge to trust God and say, you know what, you know my life from the very beginning. And I was, and I just wanted to be sort of in God's will, but it was scary at the same time. And I just didn't know what the next step was. And one scripture I leaned on this whole time was in Hebrews, how it was, it says that by faith, God told Abraham to go to a place where he did not know. God just told him to leave, and Abraham didn't know where the final destination was. He just got up and went, and that was something I leaned on for a very, like, up until now. Sometimes I don't. I'm like, okay, God, I don't know where I'm going, but I know you do. So I'm going to lean on that scripture. And I think that's a crucial thing into finding out where you sort of fit in, especially with work and stuff. Like, one thing I don't like about Australia's education system, they expect an 18-year-old to know what they want to do for the rest of their life and choose a uni degree or something, or go to TAFE or something. They just put them out there like, okay, well, if you don't make the decision now, you're a failure. And that's the message millions of kids are getting. And that's why they're killing themselves in HSC years. And that's one thing I don't like about it. It took me years to find out. Like, I graduated in 2015. I'm 24 now. I literally just got something that I never knew I would be a part of. And that's only because I trusted God. Trusting God is scary, but it's worth it, 100%. But this sort of journey, like, bro, straight up, I didn't know what I was doing. I was in uni, and I didn't know for sure what I was doing in my life. So I just wasted money and time, right? So being Filipino and whatever, Asian, education equals success, right? That's what we're taught. And it just really isn't true. Success comes from the Father. You trust in God, success comes. Because why? You're seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The answer has been in front of our eyes this whole time. And that is something that God is continuously revealing to me and to all of us, that if we just seek Him more, this sort of plan that He has for us is just gets unraveled. There's a verse in Isaiah 46 that the Father says, He says, "I'm the Lord. Everything I plan will come to pass. For I do whatever I wish. So I don't have anything to worry about. If the Father says I do what I want and everything I plan will come to pass, it will come to pass because it's His plan and He's God." So I can trust in that and lean on that and say, okay, your plan, not mine. Jesus prayed, Father, your will be done, but not mine. Mm. And that's the sort of heart that you need when you sort of go out for God. You go all out for God, and you want this. Someone listening right now where they just feel stuck. They feel stuck, and they're in this sort of limbo where they just don't know where to go next. They don't know what the step is. My friend, just go for it. Yeah. God is going to give you instruction during this podcast, after this podcast, in your quiet time. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to tell you the next step in Jesus' name. And he could speak to you through, I don't know, a movie. He might speak to you through a friend. He might speak to you through a vision. When I was in disability support, I was getting visions about my current job. And I didn't even know it existed. I had visions of me, sorry, not visions, dreams. I had dreams where I was behind a desk and there's a divider, a desk divider, and across from me was a lady, dark skin, glasses, black hair, orange jumper, talking to me. And I woke up, I was like, oh, I guess. I don't know what that means. And I shared this, I think, a month ago. I was at my desk behind the desk divider. Surely enough, a lady, orange jumper, dark hair, dark skin, glasses, talking to me. And it clicked. I was like, whoa, this is where I'm supposed to be. God will speak to you in whatever way you understand to get the ball rolling. All you have to do is say, I surrender. That's it. Surrender your will. Surrender your plan. Because there, Proverbs says, many are the ways of a man. Many are the thoughts of man. Many are the plans of a man, but the end is death, right? So you don't want to do your plan and end up dead. You want to be doing God's plan. You know, ask God what the next step is. We had a testimony. Shout out to Natasha. She was listening to the live stream for church one Sunday. And she's like, everything that you and Angus talked about resonated with me. Angus is another guy who hasn't been on this podcast just yet. He's amazing. I love him. He's part of our church. He spoke about his new job and how this whole thing unfolded for him. And he's walking in God's plan for his life now. Natasha hears it and she's like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need. So my friend on the other side of this podcast, there is hope for you. God is wanting you to get in line with his way, his plan for your life. He doesn't want you to suck at life. He doesn't want you to be unsuccessful. He wants you to be successful and happy, right? He doesn't even like it when his enemies perish. He doesn't like it when the unrighteous die. How much more that you're righteous and you're looking for God and you're wanting the best from God, you're looking for his path. He takes pleasure in making all this stuff right. He wants you to be successful. Having that scripture in Hebrews to lean on, you can lean on it too. So literally it's called the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 10. It says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, Abraham went to a land he did not know. He just left and went because God said, right? So there's a passion in your heart where it seems so unreasonable that it just doesn't make sense. There's a passion there. And it's a righteous passion as well. It might be even I feel like it's in the art field. And everything about this field of art is saying that it takes years for you to become successful and break even. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If that's what the world says, find out what God says. If God wants you to do this thing, then 100% go for it. You'll be successful. Don't worry about it. Is it going to be easy? Definitely not, bro. Definitely not. It's going to be a challenging road, but it's going to be a worth it road. So be encouraged, my friend. There's light, and it's not a coincidence that you're listening to this podcast right now. You are destined for greatness. Jesus' name. But yeah, so there's this. So finding out, you need to tap into the word, tap into the scripture. You need to tap into what God is saying about your life. You know, there's these, there's different, if you're a Christian, there's different places where there's different people that you are attracted to listen to, like pastors and stuff. And that's because that's where God is calling you. That's where God wants you to be. You're latching onto these different teachings. Like Jamison is he's feeding on Miles Monroe and John Maxwell and stuff like that because he's a businessman. He has this heart for business, for helping people as well. He has a heart for wisdom and to use this wisdom to help people. So that's what he's drawn to. Me, I like Todd White. I like Bill Johnson. I like all these different preachers because one, they're full of wisdom. Two, they walk this thing out. And three, they're seeing miracles happen. And that's what I'm drawn to, right? So find out. You can still start sort of seeing this blueprint that God has set in your heart. There's this sort of passion that you want to follow. So those are some keys. Sorry if I've been blabbering on for too long, but those are the sort of keys that I had when I was trying to sort of find that journey.
Yeah. Well,
laptop that's dying.
Key. Something, there's some keys that I've learned in my testimony, because when I first gave my heart to the Lord, it was the only one of, there was only one obvious thing that I could say that was part of my destiny, and that was music. But other than that, it was kind of like I was unclear of what's next. Like, what do I do with music? It seems like there's no money in music. It seems that a very, very low percentile range of people get success in music. So I basically gave up on that. But looking back, the first job that I got given, that I believe God gave me, was door knocking. Just a bit of a background of who I am or who I was the most reserved person you could ever imagine. Like, it was incredibly difficult to talk to me and incredibly difficult to have a conversation with me, because I just give one word answers all the time and I'd be quick to end the conversation. I was shy. I was very insecure about everything, my appearance, the way I sound, the way everything I do, just super, super nervous. And in that mode, in that mindset, I think I was blind to the possibilities of what God can do through me, because I limited myself based on where I was at that moment. At that moment, I saw myself as someone who's not able to speak, saw myself as someone who's not personable, saw myself as someone who's not capable of being at the front, who's not brave enough to be at the front. But all throughout my life, my early teens to early adult life, God has been putting me in uncomfortable situations. When I first started dabbling in music, no one knew I could sing. Even up to year 12, no one knew I could sing, not even my parents. And then it just so happened that my friend wanted to, we were just talking about singing, and I told her that I could sing, and she drew it out of me. And then once she heard it, everyone wanted to hear it, and I was just put in this uncomfortable situation where, if anyone's ever experienced anxiety, like they lose control of their body. I was so afraid. But what I discovered was I love to sing. So like, despite all that nervousness, despite all that anxiety, I was fulfilled in the act of singing, in the act of music. And then after that, like, I decided to go to uni for music, and that was a left turn. You know, all of high school, I was studying science, and everyone thought I would do something in regards to science. But yeah, left all of a sudden music. After that, the next uncomfortable situation was the first job God gave me, and it was door-to-door sales. And this is a guy, the old me was a guy who was not able to talk to anybody, who was not able to hold conversation. And then now God put me in a position. So the reason why God put me in that situation was because of how it turned out. So on the first day of the job, I'm like, God, this is not for me. I'm quitting unless you change my mind. And then Jamison sends me a link that's titled How to Change Your Mind. Craziness. So I know God gave me that job. And the thing is, that's door-to-door sales. And I'm selling a vacuum, right? And that's the most, seriously, like, just looking back, I am just astonished at what God can do. Because I was moderately successful at that job. And knowing who I was back then, I would have never imagined myself going in there. But God knows. God knew. So in the first one, God, through my mate, drew out the gift and the desire to sing and musicality. And then through this job, God drew out this desire to talk and this fulfillment of talking and sharing stuff that I never knew before. So with anyone listening, you may be at that point where nothing is obvious. Like, you don't know what you're good at. You've never been put in a situation like no one has like helped you discover who you are, what you're good at, what or anything like that. And you're just lost, and you're at your 20s now or whatever, 30s, and you don't know what you're good at. You don't know what you like. And what these guys have been saying, the thing that they've all shared in common was to seek God, because God knows how you've been designed. God knows what you like. He knows you better than you know yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he will draw out that stuff that you were made for, and you're not necessarily aware of you liking that. I had no idea that I liked to talk. I had no idea that I liked to sing, because my personality didn't show, it didn't indicate that I would like that stuff, but God knew better. So that is my advice for people who are wanting to know where they fit in. Just trust God, and more than that, trust Him when you are put in an uncomfortable situation. Know that that's Him. Because sometimes as Christians, we think that because we're following God now, everything should be all goods. Everything should be all fine and dandy. But that's not the case. When you follow God, things get harder 100% of the time, because now you're against the grain. Now God wants you to depend on Him. Yeah. So I get Guada to talk about that, about the challenge of following God. Just talk about what's going on with you and God right now, with in terms of your destiny, in terms of your purpose.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things in my walk, I reckon, is being consistent. Consistency in your walk with God. Like, because often we get caught in the busyness of life, and we kind of like, instead of running to God, we run away from God. And that was, like, most of the time, that was my case. Instead of running to God for help, I ran away from Him. Because I, the person that puts a lot of expectation on myself is myself. Like, I really, really have high expectations of me. Like, I personally work better under pressure. So I always put pressure on myself. That's how I found out where I work best, or if I'm worse at something, right? It comes out of me. So I know when there's something needs changing. And right now, because I'm putting this pressure on myself, I'm finding out that I have no patience at all. So this is something that I need to change, is to be patient with myself and to be patient with people. Because I personally don't like doing things wrong. I want to do things the right way. I want to do things God's way. So how I'm seeing this Venice right now, it's not mine, it's God's. Yeah, it belongs to God 100%. I have no attachment to this van whatsoever. So I'm doing all I can, my best to please God. Like, I want to perform my best for God. And because of that, that pressure and expectation on myself, I'm finding out that I actually don't have patience. I don't have patience with people. So God is teaching me right now is to be, not everyone's going to be like me. That's one thing that God's teaching me. Not everyone is like you. Not everyone works like you. So I have to be patient with that, right? Because everyone's different. Everyone works differently. So yeah, it's been crazy. Like, my mind's trying to comprehend that, oh my gosh, I want everyone to be like me. I want everyone to work like me, because I work very fast paced. And God's really teaching me to go on. If I'm going to be a manager, if I'm going to be a boss, I need to be going into the, like, my employees level. Like, I can't bring them up to me, because I've worked here for a very long time, so they can't be like me. I have to be on their level and bring them up with me. So that's what's been going on with me, with the whole business thing. And
something I'll add, something that Pastor Paul told me recently, that feeling of expecting everyone to be like you is something that only leaders feel. It's only leaders that feel that feeling. And what he said to me was, it's your job as a leader to recognize where people fit in. So it's kind of like you are working with God to find out where people fit. So it's an error to expect people to be you, because you are you. So
that's right.
I'm like, wow, that's beautiful.
Right.
Because you'll get into frustration if you expect people to be where you're at when God has given you the vision. If God's given you the vision, then you're the engine, and you're the you. He told you, He didn't tell them. So praise God. So Jamison, what, in hindsight to your journey, what's the biggest struggle that you went through, and what's the advice you can give out of that?
I think the biggest struggle is believing believing the vision that God has given you. Because sometimes, actually, not sometimes, 100% of the time, the vision that God will give you will seem absolutely impossible. Way beyond your reach, way beyond any resource that you have in your pocket, way beyond even your parents, your spouse, your friends, your circle, your connections, way beyond all of that. And so the hardest thing was to accept that this was something that I can actually accomplish. And to this day, like, it's something that I still do wrestle with. But it, as Gerard was saying earlier, it all comes by faith. And you can see in the book of Hebrews, like what it said about Abraham, he didn't know where he was going, except he just knew to obey God and to follow that instruction. And so the advice that I can give is to, one, be grounded in knowing that nothing is impossible for God. Because with that vision, you're gonna want to talk yourself out of it. You're going to want to give 100 reasons to why it cannot be done. But God says, no, I can make this happen with you. Nothing's impossible with me. And the second advice I would like to give is to be constantly in the Word. Be constantly in seeing how many impossible situations people came across and God came through every single time. So that doubt that will want to draw you back and say, I cannot accomplish this, all these great saints or these great heroes, as you would see in the Bible, like in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, like every single one of these great representatives of God in the Word came across impossible situations, you know, like a very common one, David versus Goliath. Like there's no, you know, to plain sight, there's no way that David could have defeated Goliath. That was a very impossible situation, but God came through. Or when Moses came across, you know, to the Red Sea, and God split it, you know, wide open so that all the Israelites can walk right through out of Egypt. And it's having this reference to come back to the Word of God where, you know, the vision or the dream that God has given you might seem impossible, but you look back and see how many times God broke the impossible. Every single time. Every single time there was an impossible, God broke right through it. And so my greatest advice is you gotta one, know that there's nothing impossible with God, and two, come back to the Word of God when you are feeling discouraged or when you are feeling like things are impossible.
Something I've heard people say is that I trust God, I know God can do it, but I don't think I can do it. I think I'm the issue. So, and then that's what stops them from fulfilling destiny. That's what stops them from going forward. So what do you say to that?
Well, I'll say you're right. If you think that you are the issue, then you are the issue. You gotta repent. You need to repent. You need to come into the realization that by staying in that stagnant place of God, I'm just the issue. Let's just keep it here. I'm too scared to go forward. Then what's gonna happen? Nothing's gonna happen. You need to make a decision that, Lord, you know what? I am weak. I am in lack. I am in need of you to fulfill this thing. Let's go with it. I don't know how I'm gonna get there, but I trust that you will get me there. Because you could be the only thing that's hindering the vision that God has given you. And something needs to change. Read the Word, compare yourself to it, and ask the Holy Spirit to change and correct anything that is hindering the way. And then God will. And then next thing you know, you're flowing in the Spirit. You're flowing in what God has for your life. You're flowing in the predestiny that He has set before you.
Yeah. The only thing I'd add to that is He empowers you to do it. So
exactly.
Yeah, that doubt that you can't do it is correct, but also be mindful that His grace is empowering to you. So it's not just Him forgiving you or Him giving you something that's undeserved. It's also His empowerment to do what He's asked you to do. And when you are unable to do it, that's like the best. That's the best place to be, because that's when you know that what you'll do next, you can't give glory to yourself. You'll only give glory to God. It's like those things where, like in the past, when you pray for something, that it's easy, you know? It's probably going to happen by itself naturally. And then you get the thing, it gets answered, but you know it's going to happen naturally. The feeling of that, it's kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, it's good. But then there's a difference when you prayed for something impossible and something impossible was put on your heart. And you know that in your own strength, you couldn't do it, but still God,
Yeah. Can I just add something? I believe it's very fitting right now, what we're talking about. I just wrote it down like a couple of weeks ago. I just received word from God, and I just wrote it down. It says he, when you set your goals, you're working your way towards your goal, right? So you don't have it yet. That's why you do your best to reach it, because you don't have it yet. Yeah. So a vision from God is for you, and it's up to you to believe it or receive it. So the moment God shows you a vision, he entrusted you with that. So it may seem impossible to you or to us.
Yeah.
And the reason why God showed it to you is because you can do it with him. Partnership with God. Yeah. So the one who showed you the vision is the one who will enable you. The moment you receive it, the vision of God, it is yours. The moment you see it, the moment you receive it in your heart, it's yours there and then. Yeah. So the next step is God will show you what's next. So he is a God of instruction and order. Yeah. So he leads us. He leads us towards that vision. Amen. So you know when God gives you a vision, it's there already in the kingdom. It exists there already. We just have to pull it down here on earth. His kingdom come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. So it exists there. And we just have to bring it down here on earth. So we pull it down here on earth by believing, by receiving and confession and putting into action what God has already told you. So bringing the vision down to earth, because it's already there in the kingdom. It's been predestined, pre-planned. Your life, it's there. We just have to bring it down to earth. Yeah. Mm. Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Clarity is power. So you got to see it before you actually see it in the physical.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Gerard. So looking back on your journey, what is the biggest struggle you've had, and what's the advice you'd give from that?
Biggest struggle is probably building that level of faith for God. God will continually stretch you. He'll continually prune you so you can bear more fruit. Pruning hurts. Stretching hurts. One thing that was a massive struggle was saying, how do I say this? I was a bit of a control freak. Like, if things weren't going my way, I'd step in and be like, no, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get this thing done. Up until now, sometimes it's just like, dude, like, we can do this so much more efficiently than how we're doing it now. And I just want to be in control. And surrendering that control to God was probably the hardest thing for me, saying, I can't control this anymore, because every time I try to do it, I just get annoyed, I get mad, I get sad, I just don't want to do it ever again. So Lord, I just give it to you. Have full control over this whole thing. You've written my story front to back, back to front. You know it all. And having that level of surrender and trust in God, up until now, he won't stop stretching us.
Mm.
It's always from faith to faith and glory to glory. The way faith is tested and the way it's matured is through trial. So there's trials that happen that allow you to lean on God, to have that sort of faith in God. There's different trials that we all go through, and God uses these trials to mature us, to build character. Like if you look at the story of Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream he'd be ruling over his brothers. What happened in between? He got beat up, thrown into a pit, sold to slavery, accused of rape, sent to jail. And at the end of it, his character's developed, he's ready to lead, he's humble, and he's second in charge over all of Egypt. So God will use all the things that the enemy has done for your life, God will turn it for your good. Mm. Right? So in Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for good, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So he'll use the trials that we're in to help us grow our faith. And that was something that I went through, that I'm going through, I know I'm going to still go through in the future, because God doesn't want us to stay stagnant at one level of faith. It's always just building up all the time. That was definitely the thing I was struggling with. Advice-wise, I have no other advice but to just trust God, trust him. Like, it's scary, but trust him, 100%. One thing that I struggled to trust him with was with finance, because it was embedded into me to have that sort of foundation of finance to fall on if, you know, it's a rainy day and I have this sort of savings saved up. And it took a lot of faith in me and trust and surrender when God told me, give away your savings. It took a lot, because I held on to that. I was holding fast to it, clinging on. And then from that point on, the testing that happened, it matured me. It showed me another side of God I didn't even know existed. It showed me his sovereignty. It showed me his faithfulness. It showed me how much he loves me, how truthful he is to his word. Like there's these beautiful moments in trials, because when we get up there in heaven, we're not going to get trials anymore. It says in Revelation, he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. And we get into this new Jerusalem, and Jesus is the light of the city. And it's just happy days, mate.
Yeah.
This is the beautiful thing about being here on earth for now is going through those trials and choosing to surrender. Because once we're up there in heaven, we don't have the privilege of having a trial anymore. It's all done and dusted. Right. The trial's finished. We get rewarded then. So this is the only moment we're in trial and say, thank you, Jesus. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are my provider. You're my healer. And these sort of trials that we go through help us mature, grow, all these different things that I've already said. So that's the sort of advice I give to anyone who's struggling with that sort of trust level with God.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. For me, my biggest struggle was trusting people, working with people, and getting over myself. When it comes to working, when it comes to church, when it comes to anything. And like something that most people know about me is when I see unity in movies, when I see people come together in movies, I cry. And the reason for that is because I think God has been changing my heart to make it want and thrive after unity. I would say that I naturally, just without God, I would naturally just be more inclined to be lone wolf. I would do things on my own because I feel like I know my abilities. I know I can do it. But the thing is, God gave you impossible tasks and he's put a team around you. Something else that Pastor Paul said was to me, when you seek first his kingdom, everything you need. So that includes also people to help you. Because you can't do everything. I can't do everything. As much as I think I couldn't do everything, we can't do everything. And when you seek first his kingdom first, when you seek to do his, like, and you tunnel vision on what he wants first, people will see you. People will be attracted to your vision. Because something Pastor Chris said in the last podcast episode, people don't follow the person. People follow the vision. So in foundations, in charities, people don't follow the CEO. They follow the vision for what the money is doing. And in the same way with us, when we focus on God first, when we seek to expand his kingdom, God will add people to you. God will add a team to you. That is my biggest struggle. And the advice I'd give, something that God's been teaching me, is make it easy for people. I had a tendency to challenge people, to make people struggle in their jobs. So I'd ask the hard questions, make them struggle, make them look bad, make them, like, I wasn't aware I was doing that, or I would be difficult on purpose, but I wasn't aware that I was being difficult. I thought, I don't know, I just wasn't aware. But God made me aware that I wasn't a team player. And God, like, softened my heart to that unity, that need for unity. The main thing I want to say is you can't do what God told you to do on your own. You need people. Mm-hmm. You need that community. You need a team. You need family. You need family. Like Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious, family. Family, once you have family, you can go to space. You can do all that stuff that they do. Yeah. When we have unity as a church, like the church as in the body of Christ, oh, man, imagine what we could do as a body. Goodness gracious me. Like, we're not just doing our own thing. That's a recent thing for me, what God's been telling me. Make things easy for people. Like, your job as a leader, as a team member, is to make things easy for people. Mm. It's not a one-man show. It's not to give you glory. You're wanting to lift everyone up together.
That's right.
And then we can all do it. And then we all win. It's the best. So, yeah, I reckon that's pretty good. Does anyone have any final thoughts before we close?
Yeah, I just want to talk about what you said before about people who feel like they're not good at anything, because I was there as well. I was a reserve for the basketball team in high school. That means you suck. Like, that's practically, you didn't make the team because you suck. That was me. I played the guitar, and then there was someone who'd play the guitar even better. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I don't have that either. There's all these different things when I was growing up where I thought I was good, and then someone showed up and did it even better than I was, and I'd feel insignificant. And that's sort of, I liked being the center of attention at that point. So now I don't care. Like, you can have the spotlight. And having that feeling that you're not good at anything hurts big time. And like I was saying in the last podcast, the whole spiral of emotion and falling back on things you shouldn't be, falling back on like porn and stuff. The feeling that you're not good at anything is a straight up lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Me, I'm good at talking to people. Yeah, you can play basketball better than I can. Yeah, you can play the drums better. Yeah, you can play the guitar better. Yeah, you might be an Olympian. I don't care. I'm good at talking to people, and that's my passion now. That's what I'm good at. I've honed that in, and now I can help people with my voice.
Yeah.
Christians have come up to me and said, dude, you're an evangelist. Like, yeah, dude. I didn't even know it up until now. I love talking to people. I love talking to people about Jesus. I love everything about it. And just God will reveal to you what you're good at. Like I said before, the whole heart passion thing, God will reveal. He will reveal. Like how Jamison said, every time he tried to pick up a hobby, he quit and went back to fitness because that's where his passion was. He found the passion in fitness, and now God showed him that he's going to open up a gym. Easy as that. You just find out what you're passionate about. I'm not passionate about anything. Yes, you are. Stop telling yourself that. You are passionate about something. Find out what that is and drill it into God. Like, God, I know I'm passionate about this. I know you put this in my heart. What do you want me to do with it? And he'll show you. Mm. Easy as that. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm not going to ramble anymore.
No, that's good. You don't want to be someone who is wasting their time on things that they're not good at, trying to get better at. Or if God tells you to do something, then you do it. But to have the desire to just be good at everything is not as efficient as it could be, because something that like I've talked with Jamison about before was streamlining. So like being a specialist, that's the beauty of a team. Yeah. It's not a one person who's good at everything does everything. It's each person in the team is good at what they do. And they more than they exceed the expectations of the role.
Yeah. Can I just quickly add on to that? So Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. That's exactly what Jello's talking about. For you, whoever's listening, get into that scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. Meditate on it day and night. I 100% will encourage you. But it will encourage you. And this is one of the scriptures that really revolutionized my understanding of purpose. So I'm believing that this will do the same for you. So what Jello was talking about was being a specialist. This is exactly what that scripture teaches. So get into that word, dig into it, meditate on it for however long you need, and God will give you something from it.
Yeah. Amen. That's a good place to end. And we'll get Gerard. Gerard, you good to pray?
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to talk to our friends on the other side of this podcast. Father, I thank you for all those listening, for the person listening to the sound of my voice right now. Thank you, God, that you have called them for a purpose, that they are called, that they are victorious. And Father, I remove and I silence every lie spoken by the devil into their heart, into their mind, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the lies they've believed and told themselves, Father, we just completely shut that out. And Father, let the truth set them free. And the truth is that you have been called to a time such as this. You have called with a purpose, and God has a good plan for your life in Jesus' name. He knows your end from the beginning, and he knows your beginning from the end. He knows everything in between. He is the Alpha, the Omega, first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's written out your story. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you reveal to my friend their purpose and calling. Reveal to them what they're good at. Reveal to them their passion in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you just completely revolutionized their life, Father, in Jesus' name. Completely turned their life around, Father. Gone are the days where they are sobbing and being discouraged about not being good at anything. That's a lie, in Jesus' name. They are good at something, and you have put a passion and a purpose in their heart. Father, just like the prayer in Jeremiah, where you said, where it says, you give them a heart to know you. Father, in the same way, I pray that you give them a heart to know you intimately, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for all those listening who have not made you Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. I pray that tonight, to wherever they are, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they completely devote themselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that you ready up their heart, ready up the soil to receive your word, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, if you haven't received the Lord Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your best mate, highly encourage you to do so, and you can do that now, but just by praying this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you in Jesus' name. I confess that I've done a lot of wrong things in my life, but I want to turn that around right now in Jesus' name. Make me new. I am born again. I am a child of God. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe and confess that you are Lord over my life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Kill.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for listening. And thank you, guys, Gerard, Guad, and Jamison. We got through it. There was a bit of technical difficulties, but we got through it. And I hope you guys
got through it, man. We got there at the end.
Yeah, got through it. Yeah, so thank you, guys. Make sure to follow us on TikTok, Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So that you don't miss out on anything. Be sure to send us an email. Just message us. We're happy to talk. We're happy to answer any questions. We're happy to get to know you. All that stuff. It's all good. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.